Welcome to ESG Podcast. We are Execution Solutions Group, advanced work packaging and project control subject matter experts. In this podcast, we'll be having casual conversations with industry-leading professionals.
Welcome, everybody. Today, we have with us Susan Hodge. Susan has worked in the industry her entire career and is now an executive and career coach. Welcome, Susan.
Thanks, Stuart. Happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So Susan, tell us something interesting about yourself that our audience may not know about you.
Well, I would be willing to bet that if anybody met me on the street, they would not know that not only do I like the outdoors, but I own my own chainsaws and I like to mow pastures with a 110 horsepower tractor and a 15 foot mower. So we have a country place, and that's just one of the fun things I like to do up there. And, you know, what we see is not the entirety of what lies behind a person. So that usually surprises people.
Nice. Well, I have about 3.5 acres. You can come over and help me mow anytime. Feel free.
Yeah. Hey, it's therapy. It's fun. You do it, you turn around, you look at it, and the weeds are gone.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very satisfying. So Susan, you've been an executive in this industry. I know that, but tell us a little more about your professional background and what you're currently involved in working on.
Okay. Well, I started my career in the energy industry in the financial and accounting arena. And I did that because I knew I could get a job, right? And that was pretty important getting started. And I rose through the corporate ranks. I did pretty well and got to the executive level of a very large corporation. So I was a treasurer and I became a chief financial officer of a large division of a multinational corporation. And that's actually when I hit the wall and my career hit the wall. So success is not a straight line path, that's for sure. And I hit the wall because I didn't really want to be a CFO. I hadn't thought about being a CFO, but here I was a CFO, and it required things that I didn't like and I wasn't very good at. So at that point, it really required me to do some reflection about what I really did want for the remainder of my career. And I had, I don't know, quite a long way still to go. And I had to come to terms with the fact about, you know, what I was really interested in doing, what I had fun doing, what I enjoyed doing, and what I was good at doing. And for me, that was not around controllership and financial kinds of things. It was much more around leadership, the impact leaders have on organization, people development, using people as our best assets. And I was able to actually pivot my career within that company and really become known for the go-to executive for leadership and mentoring and career coaching and changing, you know, creating change in organizations, which was perfect because that led me to what I've been doing for the past 10 years now, which is I am a credentialed coach, a leadership career executive coach. And my passion is helping leaders become better leaders, about having positive impact on their organizations and about helping all of my clients really lead fulfilling lives and careers. So that's what I do. And it feels purposeful and it's great fun to see the results that my clients get.
Oh, very good. And you specifically are an advocate for women in the industry as well, correct?
I am. In fact, most of my clients, not all, but most of my clients are corporate women. And because I'm here in Houston, a lot of them are in or serving the energy industry. So, you know, it's a natural passion that has arisen in me.
So what evolution have you seen in the industry in reference to opportunities for women?
Wow, that takes me back. So when I started in the industry, once I got past the entry level, there were a lot of female accountants, But once the farther I went up the corporate ladder, I mean, I was oftentimes the only woman in the room. And back in those days, our goal was basically to look and act like men. I mean, even to the point of wearing these little ties and gabardine suits, except that we were not allowed to wear slacks. They had to be skirts and very specific closed-toed shoes. So it's been, fortunately for the women of today, they are allowed a little more leeway in how they present themselves. And I would also say that, you know, we had to be like men, but we couldn't be too aggressive. We couldn't be too assertive because that made our bosses nervous. So we had to find that in-between space where we could show our competence and be recognized for it without creating discomfort in the people who were in power above us. So that was kind of weird. And there's some of that that's probably still true today. But what I do see now is it's much more common, much more acceptable to see women in leadership positions. And that's a good thing. I see more appreciation for the skills that the women bring to the table. I think it's particularly important because we are so relational. And I don't mean that men are not, but within the spectrum of things, women tend to be quite relational and making sure that we bring harmony and relationships to the business environment. And I think that's very much needed in today's complex, very complex, multifaceted, fast-paced business environment. So it's a long way of saying, I think there are more opportunities. There still aren't enough, because I would also say the more things change, the more they stay the same. So there's still conscious bias out there. There is still unconscious bias. I'll give you a little story from my history. When I was an executive in the U.S. leading a team of my peers across our function, and we had a number of like oversight responsibilities, but one of them was to see how the open resourcing process for people getting jobs was working, and to keep an eye on diversity and to make sure that high potential talent was in fact being, you know, getting opportunities and that things were being fair. So there was this huge reorganization going on where they upset the apple cart and everybody has to like reapply for their jobs, and the organization looks different when it's all said and done. And our role, after a certain round of those job applications, our role as that peer of leaders, leadership team, was to kind of look at things again to see who was falling out of the system, who make sure we weren't losing talented people, and to keep an eye on diversity. So we were going through this. And there was, you know, oh, here comes, and of course I wouldn't use real names, but you know, what's happening to Harry? Looks like Harry doesn't have a job. Well, Harry's just coming back from overseas and he kind of lost touch with some people, and oh gosh, he was a really, really high performer. That's too bad about Harry. Well, what about Sally? Oh, Sally, well, she was an external hire. She just doesn't quite have as many supporters in the company, so she hasn't found a job. Oh, that's too bad about Sally. And this went on for about three or four people. And then they got to John. And one of my peers said, oh, John doesn't have a job. We got to get John a job. And everybody starts talking about John and jobs for John. And I said, wait a second, just halt. Tell me about John. Of course, I knew John. John had been with the company a long time. He was a solid guy. He was a very likable guy. He was known for having a very, you know, kind of just someone you would want on your team. But John wasn't getting a job. And I said, well, what has John's performance been? Oh, he's kind of an average performer, but he's a really good guy. I said, okay, let's go back. We just talked about Harry and Sally and these other people, and every one of them was either, they all had strong performance. Some of them were identified as high potential employees. And did you notice that every single one of them was either a diversity candidate or an external hire? But no one said anything about getting them jobs. And the room went silent. And all of a sudden, the guy that talked about John said, "We're missing something. We need to start over." And everybody, we did. And we kind of came out with a really good, diverse, highly talented outcome. But the point was, there was no malintent in the room. There was no desire to favor anyone, but we have a tendency to surround ourselves with people we know the best, people who are most like us. It's the like me. So we can end up with unconscious bias. And that is still happening. It's happening to anyone who is not a part of the group in power. So we have to be far more intentional. If we want to see things really change for women, there has to be a more intentional eye on the ball so that we can create opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are those keys to success for women? How can they break through that glass ceiling?
Oh, gosh. The crystal ball. But there are a few things, you know, as I was just referring to, there are some structural things that have to be handled intentionally at a corporate level, at a leadership level, and at a policy level. And those are big, and those take a lot more time to change, but they're influential. But I think what would be more relevant to our audience is if I talk about things that individuals can do for themselves, things that we have within our own control.
Yeah, absolutely.
And these are the kinds of things that I work with my clients on. You know, what is it that they can do to help themselves advance, get recognition, be better at their leadership roles? And the first thing I'd say is it's the job you take. We want to take jobs that play to our strengths, that energize us. I made reference to that CFO job I took. Oh my gosh. I mean, I didn't choose that job for myself. Someone else put me there. I didn't know what was required. I didn't know the job. I didn't really think about it. I ended up there. And what I would say is we need to be much more intentional about choosing the jobs. Now, I understand if you just need a job to pay the bills, because I've been there, that's been part of my career very early on, you do that. But when you have choices, you want to, number one, just choose a job that plays to your strengths and that you can shine, a job where you can shine. So that's the first thing. The second thing, and this is particularly an issue for women, is you've got to learn to advocate for yourself. Women have a tendency to feel that if they talk about themselves, that they're bragging. And we've been taught not to brag. That's not nice. But advocating for yourself is, what I say, it's just information. Telling someone about yourself is just information. Telling them about what you've achieved, what you're good at, it's just information. And there are ways of talking about yourself and including your team where appropriate, but there are ways of doing it that bring out your unique strengths. But we've got to get comfortable with that and know how to do that. So the second one is to learn to advocate for yourself. And then I'd say the third thing is we have to keep our eye on the bigger picture, the more strategic things going on. I've seen too many women in particular become too narrowly focused, keeping their head down, thinking if I just keep my head down and work hard, I will be recognized. And keeping their perspective narrow on their team, protecting their teams. I always say, just don't be too protective of your little chickadees. You can be caring, compassionate, and advocate for your team and keep your eye on the bigger picture. So that means knowing what's going on in the competitive environment, knowing what's going on at your company's strategic level, knowing what's important to your bosses, And you can manage up and down at the same time. But so that's the third thing. So it's taking jobs that play to your strengths, learning to advocate for yourself, and keeping your eye and your thinking strategic and on the bigger picture. And I'm going to add one last one. There are more, but let's just still go with four today. And that is having a network of people who can speak for you and on your behalf and are willing to do so. We call those sponsors. Business is very relational. We should be very good at developing relationships, but there's information and research that shows that women are really good at developing relationships, but they don't often leverage those relationships in business. We're reluctant to do that. So we've got to develop those relationships, those sponsors, and not be afraid to leverage them. Whoever we are, we need to have someone in our corner. So I've been in those rooms where the promotion decisions get made and the projects get assigned. And the people that get them are the ones that have someone speaking for them. So that's the fourth thing, is to make sure that you've got a broader network of sponsors, not just your boss, because your boss may be a huge advocate, or your boss might actually just want you to stay where you are because that serves him or her well. So develop that broad network of sponsors, people that can speak for you.
Well, that's all great advice, Susan. So you are an executive and career coach. So if someone comes to you for help, what services exactly will you provide for them or coach them on? And how do they contact you? How do they get in touch with you?
Well, thanks for asking that, Stuart, because I work with individuals where there's something that they're not quite happy with. And it might be there's a pain point in their career. Maybe they're not getting recognition. Maybe they're not being promoted. Maybe they've just gotten to a point and this is not what they thought it was going to be. Or I also get people who have they're either preparing for their next level of leadership, or they've run into a struggle in their current level of leadership. My job as coach is to be their partner, and I work with them on the journey to help, in some cases, develop specific skills, in some cases, help them uncover what is right for them. And ultimately, as a coach, my job is not only to lead them through that process of insight and understanding, but then to be their accountability partner so they can take action and make real improvements. I also do leadership workshops, mostly for corporate women from time to time. And in these days, a lot of them are in a virtual environment, but workshops, leadership workshops, and individual coaching. And I do a lot of speaking. So I'd be happy to, anybody that's interested, they can contact me through my website, which is womenleadingtogether.com, or they can email me at susan@womenleadingtogether.com.
Well, very good. Well, as our audience knows, I like to keep this as just a casual conversation. So we're running up against our time limit. I thank you for joining us here. And this was some great advice, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you, Stuart. Appreciate it.